Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the most underrated show on Blog Talk and iTunes. Welcome to Matt Tiger VLS. I am the Fat Fitness Coach, and to my left is my three-speed Huffy Lance Armstrong Tiger Taylor. What's up, Tiger?
Hi-yo. Just got to throw a little disclaimer out there. We are not underrated as saying we are the best of the best. We are the best not to be messed with. That's not what we're saying. We're saying underrated as in no one takes time to go to iTunes and rate and review us. So if you feel like breaking the curse, please follow us here on Blog Talk Radio and rate and review us on iTunes. Let us know. Good or bad, constructive criticism, any criticism, or if you just want to say something nice, we would love it. It would mean, hey, listen, it would mean the world to us. You would just leave some sort of comment. I have the chat line open tonight with Matt. The phone lines are always open. They're being monitored, so please call in at 1-657-383-1506. I didn't get that. What, Matt? You didn't get that? I went a little too fast. Let me go one more time. 1-657-383-1506. Call in. Let us know what you think about Fire Dancing Tony Robbins. Also, we're going to hit with some deep talks. Then if you care to join in, you can chat, live chat, or you can call in. So, Matt, without further ado, fire dance on up here and give me the lowdown on what your boy Tony Robbins was doing.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to give you the quick 1-2 and let you know. So Tony Robbins has been... Now, I don't know for what. I think it's child abuse, sex trafficking, but not for sure. But I want to talk about his firewalking. So he first started in 1980. He was trained by Tali Jerkins. Okay, Tali began teaching in 1973. He's also the co-author of the
I'm going to have to interject with you real fast, Matt. I'm not sure where you are in a tunnel, but if you could climb out of the bunker and do a show for us, it would be amazing. Your service is god-awful.
I'm literally sitting outside on my front porch. And I have no clue what's up with my service. Looks like I got all bars.
Well, maybe you should contact Sprint because you don't have more bars in more places. This is a lesson why you need AT&T. But please go through with some guy, we didn't catch his name, that co-authored something.
Okay, so let me start off. Tony Robinson started Firewalk in 1982, okay? He was trained by Charlie Birkin began teaching in 1973. He's also co-authored the best-selling books on how to make your life work and also Why Aren't You Happy in 1976. So this guy has been doing many decades of firewalking seminars and stuff like that, you know? So there was an interview that Tony did with the Huffington Post the past couple of days. Let me read this interview to you, can I?
Absolutely. Please share it with us. I talked about this on Friday.
Tony said, for 35 years, I have more than 4 million people go through my program from 100 countries with more than 2 million specifically doing the Firewalk seminar itself. Time we have been conducting these events healthily and successfully. And we have medical support staff to attend every single event. For those 3.5 decades I've been doing this, the program in San Jose, Mexico, or is it San Jose, California? San Jose, California.
Cali.
Different than anyone I've ever done before. The fact is that the ratio is usually about 1% of the people will get some pain, hot spots, or blistering, but you go out in the sun and you get blistered, right? My dog goes out in the sun and gets hot spots. He continues to talk about the 1%, and only one third of the 1%, 21 people out of 6,000 people were there, and they didn't. And he continues to say, while I don't want anyone to feel pain, I care enormously and will make sure that everyone is taken care of. It could be from his pocket, it could be business, who knows. He continues to say, I also know that part of life is facing fear, that you're facing fear and there is risk. You take those risks if you choose to. And that's how you repeat the words. He added, it's really sad that some people in the media choose to turn such a victory for some people into such a negative tragedy.
So let me get this straight, because I'll retract my thoughts. I'll retract my feelings that I initially had. Was this just a convention, a show that Tony Robbins put on? Is this a seminar that he puts on? Or is this a special one, different from his normal, that is called a firewalk one? Or do you just not have to go to regular Tony Robbins and there's also firewalking involved?
I think that's what he does, because everything that I've studied and everything that I've watched, he'll go to these seminars that are usually 56 hours long for the weekend, and he'll get you so pumped up. And I think that's the end, the graduation part, the coming of age, the ceremony, the final point, you've made it.
Here's my problem.
He's been doing it for 3.5 decades.
Here's my thing. What are we doing? This is what Nate Diaz was saying about Conor McGregor. When Conor McGregor was putting off his true martial arts training and his martial arts experience that got him to the UFC, that made him the mogul that he is, he quit training and started doing movement. He got a movement coach and he was just training movement versus fighting. Now, he got his butt kicked by Nate Diaz. He gassed out in the second round. Nate was able to drop him and put the submission in like I had called. But Nate Diaz versus skill level with Conor McGregor normally would be lopsided. But Nate Diaz says, you're out playing touch butt in the park with some dork with a ponytail doing all these movements versus doing what got you to the big show. I kind of feel that's what Tony Robbins is doing. Like, I'm not here to play touch butt. I'm not going to walk across some fire pit because you're letting me know that I'm a different person. Because when I leave this seminar after 56 hours of sheltered seclusion with you, with like-minded people, and I get back to my routine, my reality, walking across those coals don't mean shit. Because Monday morning, going back to work to a boss that I hate or hates me, I'm dealing with, you know, the problems in life, you forget that camp. You know, walking across that fire doesn't symbolize anything other than you were a puppet master and got some people to walk across some coals. I just think it's short-sighted. I think anytime someone gets hurt, you shouldn't say, well, look at the other 5,000 people who weren't hurt. Forget these 21. I don't care if he's – he should compensate him out of his pocket. He should compensate him some way in some business. And look, yeah, you know what, Matt? I'm really pale. They call me, I'm Tiger Taylor, the world's whitest Italian. Okay? I don't know why, but the sun doesn't like me. I sunburn and blister. But you know what I do, Matt? I wear sunblock to prevent myself from being sunburned. I don't walk across coals to prevent my feet from getting hot spots or blisters. I'm not going to play touch butt. This reminds me a lot of what you were so pissed at Tai Lopez about when he took his, I think employees or maybe interns and some people he knew and made them shoot half-court shots that were not basketball players or really athletic and shoot half-court shots on his Snapchat. And he thought it was funny, and you were mad. To me, this is the same thing Tony Robbins is doing. Like, granted, he's done 100 countries. He's done this for 3.5 decades. He is who I want to be. He is where I want to go. He is the dream that I see, that I will live out one day. However, I will not make people walk across fire. I got better things to do, and so do they. So do they. But the whole, you know, Tiger, you go out, you're going to get sunburnt and blistered. They're getting sunburned on the bottom of their feet and blistered. Well, I don't, though. I still wear sunblock, like normal people, you know? So that doesn't apply to most people. Most of us are smart enough to get off the hot coals. Most of us are smart enough to wear sunblock. Maybe those are the 21 people that don't wear sunblock. It's like, I don't care about sunburn. You know, I do. I think of myself, you know. So, yeah, I think it's short-sighted. I think it's weird. I think it's kind of an ego thing, and I got people to walk across the coal. I'm not sure what that's about, but, yeah, I mean, that's my final thought. What's your final thought on it?
Well, I'm totally different than you. There is a big difference between Ty Lopez. He was making those guys shoot free throws for his enjoyment. He said, you know, if you get up here, I'll go ahead and pay for whoever, blah, 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 blah. It's for his enjoyment because he was the king. They're the gestures. But to me, Tony Robbins, it's everything. It was designed to grab your attention. To me, the firewalk is a metaphor for life. We know that life is going to be tough, but we have to have the courage to face it head on. Or we can just sit back and not do a thing. Okay? And I think this firewalk, it just gives people incentive, you know, because that's a big thing. If you can walk across fire, you can do anything. If you finish a 5K, you can do anything. You know the limits of yourself, and you push through. We're not just going to get up and shoot free throws because of money. You know, I'm going to do this. This is something that maybe it might be on my bucket list, you know. I might be feeling the emotions. I might be doing this, doing that. And I pushed myself. I did it. It's something that I fear that not a lot of people will do, and I did it.
Okay, I can see that, but I don't agree that if you can walk across fire, you can do anything. You know, I think that that's silly to feel that way. But yeah, man, it's interesting. I would love for someone to come in. I would love to get their thoughts. I would love for people to come in and tell us what they think. Would they walk across the fire? Do they see the point of it? Do they, you know, let us know what you think. Would you do it? Does he need to stop? Is he pulling a Ty Lopez? Is he doing this for his own enjoyment? Or is it like what Matt says, and if you can do that, you can do anything? I understand conquering fears. I'm afraid of heights. I stay away from them.
Right. And if you don't believe me, come spend a little bit with my wife, and you'll start to believe me that if you can do one thing, you can do everything, okay? So, spend a little time with my wife.
See, your wife scares me, so I avoid her as well. She's one of my fears.
But, yeah, you move. As strong as you got to be strong, you know. I don't know. I see it differently than you and which that's great. That's what makes the show awesome, is that we're not afraid to talk about this. And I think he's doing okay. I mean, he's been doing it 3.5 decades, and 21 people got hurt. He said it's not the first time that they've got hurt, but it's the volunteer thing. If you want to get up and do it, you can. If not, you don't have to.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a little more light shit to that then. If it's volunteer and he doesn't make you do it, if he's not forcing everyone to the completion of this seminar is to walk across it. If it's just a, hey, this fire pit's here, if you would like to conquer your fear, if it's your blind choice, then yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Right, yeah, they have the choice to either walk across it or not. You still get to hear the great Tony Robbins, but this gives you a one-on-one thing to know, to push yourself, and to have those little wins in life.
Well, then I changed my mind then. Because I'm the sunblock guy that will just choose to walk around the fire pit. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, awesome.
Oh, well, I'm the guy that wears a T-shirt when he swims. But anyway, yeah, neither here nor there.
Well, that's just fair skin. You're fair skin.
No, it's not so much fair skin as a big belly, but
actually,
anyway.
You're tan AF. You're tan AF.
So, Tiger. As we progress with the show, I asked a question today because we were trying to find topics for Motivational Monday. Now, everybody that's listening, I want you to sit down and think about this. You're having an interview with your 18-year-old self right now. You look back and you ask yourself, hey, what would you like to say about me today? Are you proud of me? Am I everything you expected you would be? How would your 18-year-old self realize? What would he say to you, Tiger? Looking at you right now, as you're 18, looking at yourself today, what would your 18-year-old self say to you?
You know, I've got to give a little background on me. I was very angry growing up.
What?
I was very confused. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you hear me, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was just wondering if you was or still.
No, was. I was very angry as a youth. Passed away when I was 14, and I didn't cope with it. I didn't come to terms with it. I didn't understand immortality. I didn't understand death, and I was left grieving, and I didn't understand how to grieve properly, and I didn't deal with it for many, many years to come. I would have fits of rage and outbursts of violence from time to time with people. I was just very short-tempered. I walked around out of, a chip on my shoulder. I was just a very lost soul. I was a very hurt and lost soul. When I was 18, I was on drugs really bad. And the day I turned 18, I dropped out of school against my mother's wishes, against any of my family's suggestion. I dropped out of school because I was going to just do whatever I wanted. I didn't have a plan for life. I was just living. I literally just thought I was going to skate by. I thought I was going to hang with friends, smoke dope, and just take it day by day. No responsibilities, no thought of getting a job. Whenever I did get a job, I managed to get myself fired within a week. Just not taking things seriously, not taking life seriously. I think the 18-year-old version of me today would be shocked. The 18-year-old version of me would be shocked that I got
my GED. How far you've come?
Sure, because he would be shocked that I got my GED. The 18-year-old version of me would be shocked that I got my associate's degree. The 18-year-old version of me would be shocked that I have 4 certifications in computers. The 18-year-old version of me would be completely shocked that I have 2 leadership management and certification or supervision certifications from vocational schools. The 18-year-old version of me would not recognize me today. Although what I would call myself at 18 is a sellout, a punk, a mark, somewhat of someone who just sold out. I did what I knew that I needed to do to be successful. Of course, the IT world is going to be safe. It's a safe bet. Hey, Matt, get out of a wind tunnel for me, buddy. So,
sorry,
I don't know why it's so windy.
I'm literally riding my
around?
Bike as we talk on the phone.
Is Auntie M around? So,
I'll mute myself so you won't hear me.
Okay. So, the 18-year-old version of me would be confused. He would be happy once he could get past the short-sightedness. He would be thrilled. He would be thrilled that my life is together. He would be thrilled that I have a wife. He would be thrilled that I'm not dead or in prison. He would be thrilled that I'm a father of 3. He would be thrilled at the fact that I get to be as good as a father as my grandfather was to me, which I was adopted, so my grandfather was my father. He would have high expectations. He would be proud of me, but he would want me to live up to my grandfather, and he would see that I'm still passing down things that my grandfather passed to me, little secrets, little sayings, little things. I think 18-year-old angry, even the 18-year-old angry Tiger would be emotional at how happy and how far I've came in life. from 18 years old. Now, I'm going to throw a little spin on this. You asked me, what would the 21-year-old version of me say? So in that 3 short years, the 21-year-old in me would be disappointed because I was already a computer tech. I was already doing what I'm currently doing in life on a smaller scale, but I was still in this industry. I expected more because of how far I came in 3 years. To still be kind of the same as I was at 21, now at 32, I think I would tell myself that I'm lazy. I think the 21-year-old me would say, you're procrastinating. The 21-year-old would say that I'm wasting time. The 21-year-old would say I'm not as passionate as I once was. The 21-year-old would say that I've gotten comfortable. So that was a strong thing that you hit me right before the show, about an hour and a half before the show. We were talking, and I was at my gym working out, and we got phone to finish my workout, and that's what you hit me with. What would the 21-year-old say? The 21-year-old would say that. Now, I'm going to take it one more step before I pass it over to you. What would the 18-year-old say? The 18-year-old is proud of me. The 18-year-old is so thankful that I'm not in jail or prison or dead. I'm not a druggie. I'm not strung out. The 21-year-old would say, I grew this much in 3 years. Why haven't you grown 10x, 100x in the last 11 years? So I think that's what he would say. But you know what? The 75-year-old me would have told me I need to slow down. That being busy is not always productive. The 75-year-old would tell me the things that were important in life were going to my kids' baseball games. The 75-year-old would tell me the important times were kicking a soccer ball around with my son, writing and coloring and drawing. He would tell me that the nights that I lay and watch cartoons with my kids on my lap or feeding my newborn son were the times that were important. That nobody won't remember what I did for a living or how much I made or, you know, how I traveled or how much of the U.S. or world I saw in one of my companies where I traveled internationally. My children and friends will not talk about that. What they'll talk about is the experiences. At the end of the day, the 75-year-old will tell me, as long as I provide enough for my family, and I'm there to enjoy my family, then I lived a fantastic life. Matt, what would the 18, 21, and 75-year-old say to you?
Well, that's actually a good question. As I'm sitting here riding my bike over here in the background, the 18-year-old would say to myself, quit being so comfortable. If I sat down with my 18-year-old self, I ended up where you're at. You had so much potential. You had everything going for you. You still do. And still, you yet to step out of your comfort zone. I'm very disappointed at you. I thought we'd be farther than we are right now. Take a risk, man. Take a risk. Now, my 21-year-old self would be like, Matt, don't get confused with all the emotions. Don't get confused with all the attention. Don't get confused about the people that come into your life for a short
what
time.
What you may have to do, Matt, you may have to pull over off your bike and stand for a moment and tell us the wind is drowning out what you're going. And you're getting deep, and I don't think myself nor the listeners want to miss what you're saying. But the wind is killing your story.
Okay. So what I was saying was that the 21-year-old me would just usually say, quit trying to be someone that you're not. Quit trying to be someone that you're not. Quit pretending to be someone that you're not. Quit trying to fool everyone else to just be you. That would be my advice to my 21-year-old would give me. It's not about the partying. It's not about the girls. It's not about the story. It's about the person you become. And then my 21-year-old self would tell myself now that don't quit. Don't quit. Whatever you do, see it all the way through. Don't quit. And I think that goes for my 75-year-old self. Just do it, son of a bitch. Just do it. What are you afraid of? You're still young. You don't have a family. You're just married. You can literally have everything you want if you just go out there, hustle, and fucking do it. That's it. I mean, plain and simple. I haven't lost anybody like a parent, as Tiger has. I haven't lost a significant other. I haven't had children that injured or hurt or have disabilities. Or it's just me. I'm truly blessed to be who I am, where I am, but it's up to me to get me to where I want to be. And same goes for everybody else. You know, this question wasn't really meant for me. It was meant for all the other listeners.
This question really hit for me. This was one of the deepest questions you came up with in a long time. This question made me... This question made me come to terms with a lot of things, like my own immorality, that I'm not 18 anymore. This question also made me very happy to realize that I don't have to be that 18-year-old kid anymore. That, you know, good things have happened in my life, that I'm not angry, that I'm not upset, that I'm not struggling, you know. It also made me realize that, you know, I grew up with a good metabolism up till a certain age, it seemed like.
Yeah,
I used to drop fat. I would drop the fat word. You know, if somebody was overweight, even in the slightest, I would just say, you're fat. And I wouldn't just tell, like, my friends, like, oh, so-and-so's fat. I would just talk about how fat you are. Like, oh, you're fat. You know, and my friends would be like, dang, bro, you know, but I wasn't fat, not even in the slightest. You know, Matt was teasing me today about the 2007 body, which I wasn't muscular or lean or anything. I was just thin. I was just a thin, average built guy. Ate whatever I wanted. I mean, I worked out quite a bit because I was, you know, 22 years old and vain, but nothing serious. I wasn't trying to be a fitness competitor or anything, you know, but I think I would be a little ashamed at how far I've let myself go. I think that's real conversation that needs to be said. The 21-year-old and the 18-year-old me would judge me. They would judge me because never in my life did I think I would be an overweight guy. Never in my life did I expect to be heavy set, chubby, any of that stuff. Again, I used to call people fat, and that's a big, that was a shortcoming of me. That was a personality, disorder is what I want to call it. I don't know. I was an idiot. Anyone that I ever offended by calling them names, I apologize. And I also feel like I reap what I sow. To an extent, I'm glad that I got to get this way, because it gives me that perspective that I can't just call people names, that I'm not here to judge your body. So that's something that I could teach the 18-year-old me, that I could teach the 21-year-old me. So that is a good that came from it. So, but the question was challenging. The thought was challenging. Coming to terms with things and facing things head on was challenging. But Matt, I really think you knocked Monday's motivation out of the park with this question. Are you there, buddy?
Thanks. Yeah, man, I'm here. I was on mute listening to you while I ride my bike, getting those miles in today. But, you know, I'm really happy that you were able to answer this honestly. And Tiger's right. He did call people fat. He's called me fat many times. Just the other day, he called me fat because I had my floors replaced in my apartment. You know, and...
He is absolutely 100% joking. So go ahead.
No, absolutely 100% telling the truth. but I'm super excited that we got to have this little little discussion. And, you know, I would really like to do more of these more often, you know, questions like this.
Me too.
And that's exactly what my 18-year-old self, 21-year-old self, 75-year-old self would say. Get the fuck moving, man. Do what you love. Quit spending time in a job that's dead end, that you absolutely fucking hate, and that you want to start this awesome business. Fucking do it. Who cares about the money? Who cares about the people? That will all come. It's just the money is the hardest part sometimes. But that will all come once you get your shit going. That's all.
Sure.
That's all my stuff would say.
Absolutely. Matt, I'm going to move us right along. We're running out of time. I want to talk about a thing real fast coming up. We have about 13 minutes left. I want to talk about Wednesday. Wednesday, Matt and I were talking today. We had a conversation. He can either give you a tidbit of it today. We can drop what we're going to talk about Wednesday. But I do want to tell you that I can hear the pain in his voice, the despair in his voice, the frustration in his voice. His exact words were, "Fuck, where were you 2 years ago with this advice? Where were you 2 years ago with this fact? I needed to hear that 2 years ago because when someone said blank to me, I had nothing to say. If you would have given me this tidbit, this advice, this story 2 years ago, I would have had something to say." You're right, man. You're absolutely right. Do you want to give them a spoiler alert what Wednesday is, or do you want them to tune in to find out what I'm talking about?
No, we'll start it, and then we'll finish it on Wednesday. So what it is as I finish my 3-pound burrito that I just got, Tiger, I've been struggling because I'm not fit, but my labs are good. My resting heart rate is 59 beats per minute. That's excellent. That's a freaking pro athlete right there. But I just have a midsection, hashtag genetic, and I went to training to get certified as a personal trainer again, and people were just dogging me left and right, being like, "Hey, you're chubby, you know, people don't want to follow you, people don't want to take advice from you, this and that." I was like, "Man, I've studied this, I've done my time, I've got my degree in it, I'm here with you, what makes you better, just because you have a better body?" And I'm horrible at self-talk. The most horrible person ever.
Tiger
Teller can contest to this, man. I am the worst. If someone puts something in my head, I'll just think about it. I never think of myself positively. Never.
And you beat yourself down.
This podcast. Yeah. And since we started this podcast, I've really grown not only in my spiritual, but my physical and mental and health and body, and I've grown so much, and I'm starting to fall in love with myself and fall in love with the process. But it's so hard to see these very fit men's health guys that I go to seminars with and I do workshops with, and I'm just like, I'm sitting over here 277 pounds, got a big old gut on me, I can bench press 225 27 times. It's just tough, man. My clientele base, I have 15 clients. And I do it all for free. I've had some clients lose 30 pounds. I've had some clients lose 8 dress sizes. It's so hard. And Tiger came to me today and said, "You know what, you need to be like this guy." And I'm starting to research this guy and learn more and more. And Tiger, tell me about this guy.
So I was telling Matthew that sometimes the mold doesn't fit. There are outliers in this industry. You don't have to look like everybody else. You can bring a certain skill set, a certain knack, if you will, that other people don't have. Matt relates to you losing weight. "Hey, Matt, man, I can't quit soda." "Yeah, soda wasn't my vice, man, but God dang, I love corn dogs. Like, trust me." "Well, Matt, man, I'm craving this stuff. Like, I, you know, look, man, I ate healthy every day this week. I had a cheat meal and I gained 5 pounds." "Hey, I understand. You told me what your cheat meal was. I put on a pound." They relate to Matt. I walk into a gym today and a guy with 6-pack abs, canned, I don't relate to that guy. I don't look like that 18-year-old stud. I don't look like that 22-year-old stud. I'm not going to keep up with his workouts. He's going to kill me. He's physically going to break my body down with the routines that he gives me. I told Matt about the number one. I said, Matt, name a boxing trainer for me. And he goes, I can't. And I said, bro, my wife can name a boxing trainer. And she's not a boxing fan, because he tried that excuse. Well, I'm not into boxing. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows the name Freddie Roach. How many of you are screaming that right now at your computer? Freddie Roach! Freddie Roach! What do you know about Freddie Roach? Nothing. I just know he's a trainer. It's because he's a household name. Trains Manny Pacquiao, a list of who's who, even MMA fighters. George St. Pierre, Andre Arlovsky. He just trains them all. The beautiful thing about him is he has Parkinson's today. He's not athletic, and he's still the most revered, number one, sought-out boxing trainer in the world today. He grew up in a home where his father made boxing a priority. It was just so important in their house. His older brothers were athletic. They were quick. They had speed. They had the body composition. They had the athleticism. They could do boxing great. He never could. He was better at training them and teaching them. That's what his skill set was. His skill set wasn't to become a world champion boxer. His skill set was to spend time making you better at your craft, and that's what he perfected. He was never a top anything boxer. Never. He was never a top anything in boxing. What he was known for is his training ability, his training style, taking ordinary people and giving them superhuman results. That's what he was passionate in. There are stories that I want to go into about next week about him just walking in gyms, randomly walking in gyms. I just think it's very interesting. His story is great, but he's a guy that doesn't look like the guy that should be getting these results out of these athletes. If you were to just look at him and say, can this guy make me a world-class boxer, you would laugh. You would turn the other way and you would run, because he doesn't have fast twitch muscle fiber, because he doesn't have six-pack abs, because he wasn't fast, because he didn't possess punch power, legendary punch power. He didn't possess those skill sets. He never acquired that. But what he was able to do is take a normal guy, or a guy with talent, clearly. He was able to take a talented, athletic guy and 10x his results. He was able to tell him, you know, if you got on your toe and you turn your hip at a rotational, you know, a diagonal rotation as you throw your right, you're getting, you know, optimum power from your right. If you spin the axis in your core and you turn with your thumb up and your elbow level, you know, with your wrist, you're going to throw that left hook powerful. You know, he would just set you up in these punches. He would tell these guys how to dig in with their feet, how to move with their core. He would come up with punch combos. He would come up with better footwork. He was coming up with all this. Now, he couldn't do it himself. He lacked the athletic ability to do it himself. But his mind was sharper than anyone else's. His mind took him to the top. His mind is what made him the number one sought after boxing trainer in boxing today. He has Parkinson's. He's an old man, and he never made it as a boxer. And he's the number one boxing trainer. Sometimes I don't care if you have a gut and you're 30 years old. If you can teach me how to be strong enough to bench 225 pounds 27 times, if you can max out on your squat, would you max out on today? New PR? Give me the number real quick. Blank.
No, my new PR was 340.
340
barbell squat, and then 565 on leg extension, leg press.
So if you can do that That's a trainer I'm looking for. I don't care how you look. Listen, why do I give a shit how you look? I'm worried about how you're going to make me look. Whether you're not disciplined enough in the gym, which clearly you are, or you're not clear, or you're not disciplined enough in your food, you're not the athlete. You're not the guy paying someone to get better. You don't have to look a certain way for your clientele. You just have to prove that you can give them the results that they want. They need to give you that shot. And that's this story that you and I are talking about right now is what you told me, dude, where were you 2 years ago? Why didn't you give me this advice? Why didn't you tell me this? When I was in San Diego and these young 20 to 35-year-old in-shape men with rock-hard abs, 7% body fat, and were coming up to you and calling you chubby and fat, telling you that you're in the wrong industry. When the leader of the class, the teacher, was telling you that you're in the wrong business, how dare every one of them? How dare them all? For one, your salesman ability is through the roof. You're one of the most likable people I've ever met. You're funny, you're witty, you're kind. All these other skills that you possess versus having 8% body fat are going to get you clients, are going to sell your product, are going to sell whatever you're selling. You'll get more when people get past your body than someone with abs ever will. Matt, there's 3 minutes. Kill us with a quote. What a badass show. I hope you all come back on Wednesday for Wednesday, Wellness Wednesday, to talk about what Matt is certified in, what Matt has his college degree in, what Matt does every day for a living, even though he was told he was in the wrong business. Matt, kill us with a quote.
Well, buddy, thank you so much for the praise. I really love it. You know, as the sun is starting to set, it's about to rain here in Topeka. I'm going to finish my bike ride. Oh, if you're on, Tiger, drop the app real quick and tell them how to follow you.
The app?
Yeah, the Bike Rider app.
Oh, so what I want everyone to do is to, if you're into cycling, get the Strava app, S-T-R-A-V-A, S-T-R-A-V-A, Strava, S-T-R-A-V-A. Follow me, Tiger Taylor. Follow Matt, Matthew Waits. Follow us. Ride along with us. We will give you a thumbs up on your ride if you follow us. It's fun, man. Check us out. Check out the app. It's free. It's free. It's fun. It'll get you in shape. And just as a heads up, a disclaimer that Matt didn't give me, because he's been doing this for about a year, the disclaimer Matt did not give me is riding a bike at 32 is not like riding a bike at 12. It's worlds apart. I'm going to give you that disclaimer because I'm a real friend. So, Matt, tell us that quote. We've got 1 minute, buddy.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight. You can follow us on Instagram, Matt and Tiger BLS. You can follow Tiger at James_Taylor, right? James_Taylor, Tiger?
James_Tiger_Taylor on Instagram.
Talking about some good Instagram stuff. Follow him. Check us out. Like us on iTunes. And so for the quote tonight is, you're either living your fears or you're living your dreams. You can't do both. Ladies and gentlemen, as for me, I am the best dressed and the fattest coach in the Midwest. And to my left is my beautiful, fully loaded Italian provolone cheese, Tiger Taylor. Good night, everyone.
I love you all.